And open it up to Nehemiah chapter 2. And for the honor and reading of God's word, would you stand with me? Nehemiah chapter 2. It's, you know, there was another message that was a little bit more missions minded. And I just, honestly, I had preached it last week and I didn't really want to preach it again. So sorry, but not sorry. And so this is good too, because the neat thing is, it's God's word, regardless. Okay, so there'll be a Lord in it, and that's who we want. We opened up the service this morning preaching the preeminence of Jesus Christ, and I don't think that there's a greater topic in all of preaching is Jesus Christ. And so we're gonna do our best to focus on a man who has just felt the leading of the Lord in his life, and if you open up to chapter 2, and you can read along with me. I'm going to start in verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. We're speaking of Nehemiah here. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon, and went out by night and by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And then I went to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up into the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went and what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor the nobles, nor the rulers, nor the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in? Now Jerusalem lieth in wait, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good unto me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands and for this good work. But then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, and they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And I answered them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Gracious God in heaven, Lord, you're so wonderful to us and such a good and gracious God. So thankful, Lord, that you have built your church, Lord, in this place. And Lord, their love for you is just stands out, and Lord, my heart just smiles, Lord, that blessed so many folks here. Lord, you've blessed a ministry, dear God. This is all you, and we're so grateful for that. We want to praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the praises, the blessings, Lord, that was shared, dear God. They love you so much, Lord, enough to testify of your goodness in their life. Lord, thank you for the hard work and the time, Lord, that was put into preparing the song as the choir had sang about you. And Lord, thank you so much for that investment and for the blessing that they were to our family and singing. Lord, thank you for this church family. God, they're just such a beautiful church family, Lord, to us. And we're so grateful for them, not for, Lord, really anything but their love towards us. Lord, thank you for the prayers and the time that they've spent in prayer towards us. And Lord, we love the Moore family. Lord, we continue to bless Valley Avenue Baptist Church and bless the Moore family, Lord, and and bless Falls City, Nebraska, Lord, because of their presence, Lord, here in this place. And Lord, we ask for a specific blessing. We want to see more souls saved. And Lord, I'd love to see these walls punched out in this church, just build a greater facility, Lord, in the sense that more people would come to know Christ and the 22 children would grow to 44 and the 44 to 88, Lord, and just a compounding, Lord, for your glory. And I just pray, God, that, Lord, this whole county would come to Christ, and Lord, this whole portion of the state would just be shook for the cause of Christ. Lord, thank you for loving us and calling us, Lord, to the ministry. We ask, God, now, Lord, that you anoint our ears, Lord, our hearts and our minds. Lord, shut the windows and doors of this world to us, Lord, that there be no distractions. Lord, strengthen our hearts and minds in you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would open up the windows and doors of heaven, Lord, to us, that we would have understanding and peace in our hearts of what it is that you have us to do. And Lord, give us strength and boldness, holy boldness, Lord, to apply that which is applicable, Lord, from your word. You would receive glory, most importantly, preeminence, Lord, in our life. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for what you're about ready to do. Lord, do a work in me in which I cannot. Lord, I'm completely inept without your power, Lord. I need you even now. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing long for me. Oh, I don't live vicariously through my family members, but I tell you, if there's ever a World War II story that's out there, I kind of gravitate towards it. That is a genre. If there was ever a time where in our military's existence that there was a true and legitimate battle versus good and evil, it was during that time. And I understood over the period of time the influence that my family had received from my grandfather being in World War II. And he was actually a war hero. I did not know this up until his late 80s. He never talked about it. He talked to one person outside of his wife. And she, that day when he spoke, found out more than she ever did with the 55-plus years that they had been married. And my mom got to interview him on a little cassette tape. You know, they had the little, you know, voice recorder thing. And a lot came out, and I learned from him what had happened. And he fought in the Battle of the Bulge. It was under Patton and liberated Paris. And he actually was storming the beaches of Normandy under the first wave, which is a survival rate is very, very, very small for that day particularly. But this is not a story of any heroism on our side of the family. I would want to bring that here, but I want to just give you this story. It's a popular one. Probably you have heard it before, so just bear with me. The Nazis were advancing through the lower lines of Europe, and if you're a student of history, you notice that that line in which they pushed had been previously measured in World War I. However, with a powerful change of course in the imminent strength of the Nazi advancement, they knocked hard on that line, and soon they were on the back doorstep of England. Now famous speech given in British Parliament concerning the country, the much needed involvement of the military in this war against Nazi Germany, Winston Churchill had to go before the Parliament, and this is what he said. There comes a moment in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born, that special opportunity. When he seizes it, will fulfill his mission. A mission for which he was uniquely qualified. A mission for which he was uniquely qualified. I couldn't probably define for you Nehemiah's moment. We have here the perfect Word of God. It's in fullest extension here. And this is all that we're going to receive on this side of heaven. So I believe it is complete and it's enough for me. I can't tell you the thoughts that was racing through Nehemiah's mind as he heard from his own brother. The destruction that had occurred in Jerusalem. His heart for his countrymen was already many miles away as he faithfully served King Artaxerxes, but the simple fact is that it brought pain and anguish to his heart. There's a group of people over there that he loved. If I had to define something, maybe I would say that his moment began at the time and the hour and the moment that he had received this distressing news from his brethren. But I think it was his response that defined it more clearly. These individuals that were held captive, their town, their city, their walls were torn down. Their gates were ripped apart. Some parts burnt to the ground. His response was not to rush to a Congress or rush to a parliament. He didn't rush for governmental assistance. No, Nehemiah's first response was a rush to the throne room of grace. He sought God's face. He knew that the one who provides all of the power could help those who claimed his promises. And so simply, he prayed. Each and every single one of us have gone through or are going through a distressful moment. But what will define you and me from having that qualifying factor is that what will we do in that moment? Will we try to resolve it ourselves, or will we seek the one who has the power and the solution for it all? I imagine that's what Brother Hetzer did. I'm not going to speak for him. But certainly he listed off distressful moments. Come on, you know as well as I do, we are sitting in a very beautiful auditorium. I'm not saying a beautiful auditorium for Falls City, Nebraska. I'm saying like the Drinkard family has traveled to over 200 churches in America in 19 months. We have seen beautiful auditoriums for what you have here. This is very beautiful. As a matter of fact, this does not have all the bells and whistles if I was to list it out, but I promise you, this is my favorite pulpit, okay? I hope I'm on a short list. If you all get rid of it, it's coming over to Ironwood, right? All right. But certainly, there was distressful moments, I believe, that he had to go to God first. He probably didn't run to his pastor. He probably didn't go to his wife. He probably didn't go to the governmental officials there locally, but he went to Jesus Christ. He went to the Lord. Nehemiah was a close advisor. He was a cupbearer. He was a, I would imagine, a friend to the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. It was one day, though, he came to Artaxerxes and he just looked a little different. Have you ever had a loved one close enough to you and you've been around him long enough that one day it's everything is good and glory, and then the next day you're like, man, what's that guy? What's that gal's funk all about? What's up with this, you know? That's what Nehemiah had. And Artaxerxes has been around this man long enough to know that, hey, something's bothering him. I'm going to go find out what that is. That's, to me, a friend. Verse number 2, he says, a sorrow of heart. Now, Nehemiah was brokenhearted for the well-being of his people, but yet at the same time, you got to understand that this individual who was having his emotions kind of come out subconsciously could have also been fearful for his life, if you will. This man was all-powerful in the land, and he could have just removed Nehemiah and brought in the next one, but he didn't do that. Without no reservation in his life, when he was asked about this question, he had no reservation for even his occupation, but Nehemiah explained to Artaxerxes the reason for his sadness, and the king could have threatened him, dismissed him, or ultimately gotten rid of him, imprisonment, torture, or worse, he could have killed him. But God's providential and sovereign hand moved in and proven in such a way that the king granted Nehemiah's request. All of them. Basically what Artaxerxes did, he's like, listen, I want to help you. Here's my credit card. Go and buy whatever it is that you need to go and help these individuals whom you love. And he did so. He took papers to those in need who needed the papers so they could get the resources to help rebuild the wall. But in that great distress, Nehemiah's first choice was to go to God in prayer. He committed himself to God, to the people whom he was called to serve at the task at hand. there is the T-Mobile World Headquarters in Leawood Overland Park, Kansas. It was at the time Sprint World Headquarters when my wife and I was there. My dad actually had built all of the executive offices there on that campus. It's a pretty large one if you had ever gone. And we were sitting there sandwiched in between this large compound of buildings and then the Jewish Community Center there in Leawood, Kansas. It has the highest concentration of Jewish population in the state there. And we were praying, we were talking, and we were just searching out God's will for us. And there was probably some giants in the land that I started identifying on why we should not go over there. Ultimately, it resorted to the fact is that, you know, God is bigger than any obstacle in which I'm going to run across. And so I knew that He would take care of it so long as we seek His face, and that's what we did. As a matter of fact, as we continued to pray, peace went into our hearts and doors continued to open. I imagine that's what happened with Nehemiah. As he continued to seek God's face, many doors opened and he was able to get all the resources that was needed and to caravan them over to Jerusalem. God's plan was simply to restore God's people by rebuilding the wall, and I believe that's what He wants to do in each and every single one of our lives. A lot of the times our walls in our hearts and our minds are torn down, the facades in which we've built up time and time again to protect our own hearts from hurt are now in a place to where we're susceptible to what it is that God has for us. And that's a great place to be, is you want God to speak to your heart. God wanted to restore the fellowship of mankind. But it seems as though mankind wants nothing to do with God today. But that's all right. Jesus still loves them. If the walls were built, God was going to send someone to do it. Now, if you looked at verse number 5, chapter 2, this is the spirit of Nehemiah. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me. Send me. There has to be a place in a person's life to be able to do the full will of God, and you got to come to the place where you got, Lord, whatever you want, whenever you want. And if it means that you're wanting to send me, here am I. The same spirit, Lord, if you'll use me, I'm willing to go. That was exactly what the idea was when we went up to our pastor. God, or Pastor, whatever it is that you would have us to do here in the church, we'll do that. This is what we believe. This is what I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart. You do as you will. And it was amazing through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of our pastor and the doors that opened and the peace that ensued that we're now going into our third year of ministry there in Leawood. God's perfect plan was revealed in heaven. He sent Jesus Christ and He was willing to leave the glories of heaven to come and restore mankind here. And God's plan of salvation was for Jesus Christ to fulfill His priority, to seek and to save in that which is lost. And our purpose in our life is to simply fulfill that priority and to leading other people to Jesus Christ. And I see that here. There's testimonies of that. Nehemiah had a purpose when he was sent to the palace, from the palace to a broken city. He was the executive advisor in the highest position of the land next to the king. And then he was sent out into the field to a destroyed rubble of a city. He went from the palace to the broken. Where we're at, not a lot of people are willing to admit that they're broken. They will fulfill the holes in their hearts with other things and build their own kingdoms. I think some of the times, the more stuff that somebody has, maybe there's something behind that stuff that's sensitive and that's hurting in their hearts. We have to be careful as Americans because we look at that in a couple different ways. We can look at it as, well, they're very prosperous, very successful. What else could they ever want? Or that we look at it like, hey, that guy has so much money, and they're living in such and such a house or driving such and such a car. They would never listen to me. But no, both of those spirits aren't really true. It's just an obstacle that Satan has allowed to place in our minds that prevent us from doing what it is that we're called to do. Listen, it's not just the drinkard family. There's nothing special about us, I promise you. It's about being willing to share the gospel. It's about being willing just to go in places where you never really anticipated being. It's about leaving maybe even the kingdom in which had been set up underneath your feet by God in the first place, and never having a white knuckle grip on it and saying, hey, listen, I'm willing to leave this relationship. I'm willing to leave this city. I'm willing to leave this home to go over there to help the broken. Jesus Christ purchased our sin debt by His shed blood that was spilt on Calvary. Like Christ was sent by the Heavenly Father with a purpose to redeem, Nehemiah was sent by the King with a purpose to restore. And like Nehemiah's followers of Jesus Christ, those who believe in God have been sent by Jesus Christ with the same purpose that Jesus Christ was sent for, and that is the ministry of reconciliation and leading people to Jesus Christ. So sometimes we are weary in well-doing. That's okay. Sometimes we don't have the physical strength to go on. That's okay. Sometimes we don't have the mental capacity. Hey, that's okay. But sometimes all you need is just a willing spirit to go. He's looking for that. Sometimes we feel all alone, like we're lost. We lost the direction that God originally had given us. Or maybe it was never designed for what it is that we had expectations for, but that's okay. Allow your expectation to be from the Lord. It was God's will that He would see that Ironwood Baptist Church would be built by His power in Leawood, Kansas, just as Valley Avenue Baptist Church is being built here in Falls City, Nebraska. A clear purpose for what God wants for us, we need to see how Nehemiah saw with eyes of compassion. All the media, social media outlets are given thousands of hours of video content of individuals that are getting beaten and bludgeoned and hit and eventually killed. It's all being captured. You never really see the soul being helped by another. But you always see multiple individuals with multiple phones capturing multiple videos. Bystanders are observers. It's becoming a spectator sport, the violence in America. No one really seems to care much, even when a church permanently closes its doors. But God is looking for someone, and I believe it's someone here, probably even in this room. He feels deeply enough and is led by even the compassion of Jesus Christ to care for someone, to pray for another. And all of us may have some level of compassion, experiencing moments of sadness and pain, but the biblical compassion in which we're talking about, it actually feels the pain of other people as if it was your own pain. And Nehemiah felt this for his people, as we see in verse number 10. When Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. To seek the welfare of the children of Israel. If we're to look with our purpose in mind through the eyes of personal gain and fulfillment, we're going to miss it 100% of the time. Are we going to sell ourselves short? But if we look at the purpose that God has for us through the eyes of compassion like Nehemiah did, we're going to find that the needs of others around our immediate sphere of influence being resolved just by you being willing and having a compassionate heart. But you also got to follow the leading and direction of the Lord. Verse number 12. It says, and I arose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. direction came from God above quickly during his personal alone time. Leonard Ravenhill said, to be much for God, we must be much with God. This is what Nehemiah was about ready to do. Nehemiah had traveled all this way, had collectively gathered all the needed resources, and what he does first, spend time alone with God. When he spent time alone with God, he stepped out of his tent. He mounted up on that horse or beast or whatever that thing was. It's probably a Ford. I don't know. He got on that beast of burden, and then what did he do? He took a survey trip. Just like Brother Hetzer took a survey trip to Sri Lanka. Just like the Drinkard family took a survey trip to Leawood, Kansas. Just like the Schmidt family took a survey trip to Brazil. He went out there and he allowed his eyes to affect his heart. There was places in which he couldn't even go. And I know a Ford with four-wheel drive, you'd think it would go everywhere. But there's passages in which he could not go. Things were on fire. The dung gate, yes, it is what you're thinking. It smelled. It was horrible. It was in disarray. It was embarrassing. He's like, look at this. It's a reproach. He was hurt. He couldn't imagine how the pride of his people were too. Godly leaders will spend much time seeking the face of God, and I bet you do too. I'd ask that you pray for your pastor as he continues to do so, seeking the direction from the Lord for this church as you seek direction from the Lord for your family. God places both the burden and the solution on the hearts of those who are willing to go and willing to have the compassionate eyes and the willingness to help other people regardless of the surrounding. We receive direction from God inside of our quiet time, so that means we got to be quiet. I know prayer has much to do with speaking, but God said, be still and know. And some of the times we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, and rightfully so, but we've exasperated ourselves so much to where we cannot speak anymore. And all the fluid has poured out of our eyes and poured out of our nose to where our face is swollen and we can't even squeeze out an amen, but we're just in silence before a most holy God pouring our heart out. It's during those times we gain a clearer sense of God's purpose. We follow His directions with compassionate eyes. Courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is overcoming our fears to meet the needs of others around us and to do the will of God. Nehemiah had a very comfortable, cushy government job. He had a pension, I'm sure. 401k stocks were doing really good for Persia at the time. You got to keep in mind that he was well off. He wasn't just any old cupbearer. He was like the executive advisor. Like he may have started out someplace and somewhere, but now Artaxerxes is in place and he's right there next to him. Think of all the lavish luxuries that you would have being that guy. But then to leave, not knowing what you're going to run into, yes, even on a limited budget, but goes and has all the resources and goes to put his hands to work with people whom he's never met before. Willing to build something that he's never built before and to restore people. Why? Because God said so. When we spend time alone with God, we're not only going to get confirmation for our purpose in life, but also that he's going to give us the strength to do it. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's things in our life that prohibit us from moving forward for the cause of Christ, and there's probably been a calling placed on somebody's life, but it hasn't been filtered out just yet because the direction is not clear. Maybe it's because there's no compassion inside of the eyes, but or maybe it's just that they're not willing to leave all of what it is that they've established for all of their life and even affecting the legacies of others that are around them that they love. And how could I leave all of this when I have all of this and I'm not willing to forsake all of this? But God said, be strong. Be of good courage. God's presence, isn't that enough? It's good. It is sufficient. Look at verse number 17. And then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in? It's not that Nehemiah was a stressed out, over anxious individual. He's just giving and painting the real picture and calling the kettle black here. He's just saying, like, this is where we're at. He said, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now here's the direction for the people. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Someone was quoted saying that nothing of lasting value is accomplished by half-hearted measures. I see that you all are having a work day here come soon, but I bet you've had many work days here on the property. But I also believe that there has been days where you all have come corporately together to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this place. And you're sending out other individuals to do the same faithfully. There comes a point in time where there's going to be a moment where you have been uniquely qualified to personally share the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that it'll strike that person's heart. I'm not talking necessarily about at the door. It may be in your own home. Maybe across the street. Maybe to one of your loved ones whom you only get to see once or twice a year. You have that trust factor with them. They're going to be more willing to listen to you than anyone that comes up to their door. Our sense of purpose becomes much more clear when we look with eyes of compassion. We get God's direction in our life. But then when we exercise our courage, in which comes from the Lord. But more importantly than all is the hope that we have in God. That hope that comes from God. And that everything that we've ever needed, that not one thing will ever get away from us. What we had need to depend on would have on anyone other than ourselves the assurance and presence of God in our life. The power of God is presented here through the strength that is inside of their hands. Nehemiah recalled the blessings of God in his life up to that very moment. He's like, look at what has happened. I told them, verse 18, I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's word that had spoken unto me. So he's not only demonstrating to them by way of testimony what God has done for him personally, but he's also sharing with them what God has done through the circumstances in which he's in that no one would even really fathom. This is a captive people, and the person in charge is Artaxerxes. And you're telling me that Artaxerxes gave you all of this money and all of this resource to come and to rebuild? Yeah, let's do this. You know, this is the war cry of the people who are ready to rebuild. And this is the momentum that was needed. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's promises. It's okay to sing them out loud too. It's wonderful to even hear God's word, whether it comes from your lips or another's. I can remember that one of the first times that I ever heard my children speak the name Jesus Christ. Boy, it still rings sweet in my ears. I love it when I get to share the gospel with somebody and I have a track in my hand. I don't have one of yours. I don't even have one of mine. So anyways, but you know, when I hand a track out, oftentimes we live in an affluent city, so know where you're at. You know, I ask them, hey, can you read this right here? You see where it says John 3:16? Can you read that for me? And they read it out loud. You know, there's a psychological, a brain thing that is happening when they're reading it aloud. Not only are they hearing it, but they're hearing their own voice and they're exercising their own voice box. And it's almost as if they're putting it through their body and their mind even more. I know it sounds kind of silly, but I'm telling you, there's a level of accountability that's given, I believe, a little bit greater. If you're able to lead them a little bit further, maybe it's through the Romans road, allowing them to speak the words of God, and they may be lost. But that's okay. That is all right for them to hear it for themselves. I want us to remember that God's word is still very powerful, regardless from what lips it comes from. But there are individuals, even in the heart of America, who has never even heard of the name Jesus Christ outside of someone who is experiencing physical pain. They've never even heard who Jesus Christ is outside of the very vulgarity of it being used as a curse word. Heaven forbid that would ever fall upon the lips of a saved person. We recall God's word from memory. We record God's promises where we can easily read them. We replace doubt and fear with the hope of God and understand that God's hand is never shortened in any work that is done for His kingdom. God helps us as we labor to build through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God builds His church through the people who are fully committed and dependent upon His power. It is His power, is not dependent upon the strength of any earthly economies or even our arms. But God's work is done God's way, and it never has lacked God's supply. I didn't say that. Hudson Taylor said that. He'd know. Regardless of the adversary or even his little minions here, Tobiah and the Arabian, Geshem, and others, their threatenings and their attacks never prevail because God is already won. Listen, church family, don't ever think that you have to fight for a position of victory. No, listen, when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, you are fighting in the position of victory. You're already there. It's amazing when we're consumed by this thought. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 19, now they that which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Listen, some of the times we shorten the power of God just by simply remaining complacent, allowing that spiritual apathy to settle inside of our heart. Well, I just want to let you know that the single most important calling in all of our lives is to be that servant of God. Be ready and willing to be obedient to Him when He calls you, tells you, hey, this is where I want you to go. He's not going to call you outside of the authority of the local New Testament church. He's blessed you with a wonderful pastor, pastor's wife to help you along the way. But I want to encourage you that we will know God's purpose in our life when we keep those eyes of compassion. We seek after His direction alone in our private life. And then when we answer the call, know that you have the hope of God in you, and you have His power and His strength alongside you. Will you bow your head in a word of prayer with me? We're going to close the service this evening. Maybe there are invitations during this time. I'm not real for sure. I'm going to turn it over to your pastor here in a moment. But this is where, really, to me, this is the part of the service where you take control in the sense that you pray to God. You ask Him or you speak to Him, hey, listen, this was a truth that you allowed me to connect with. This is something you've been dealing with me for months, for years about. And you go to Him and you ask Him. You plead with Him. You tell Him. Maybe even make a commitment to Him. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you want all of these things. And it's just now a moment that where you make that personal commitment. Or like the lady who had mentioned earlier that she was baptized. Praise the Lord for that. Just going to echo a sentiment from Hudson Taylor again. All of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for this time which You've given us, Lord. I know this is a different service for these folks, Lord. They've been challenged already in the area of missions, Lord, and giving. Lord, there'd have been no way that Nehemiah would have been able to go and do what it was that he was able to without those who funded it. Or there are missionaries who are in greater need than I know, Lord, who need Your providential and sovereign hand in their life in such a way, dear God, that You would be completely revealed. Lord, let it be no mistake, Lord, that it was a miracle performed by You. But Lord, it was through the hands of the faithful, Lord, who were willing to give of themselves and to be a faithful steward with the resources in which You bless them with. Lord, help them as they place their faith and trust in You, Lord, and to multiply the giving Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom, that souls would come to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.